Because you can handle the truth.
sunshine beating under good times, moonlight racing from the grave, string band playing more, that honky tonk's pretty young thing going dancing in the rain. Lady spitting at the Nicky Jacks, businessman with a needle and a spoon, coyote chewing on a cigarette, pack of young boys going howling at the moon. Hey darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey darling, leaving for the next town, lesson my sense catches up with me. Crash on the number four, two witnesses blowing up high. Not sure whose will be done. You can call me a sinner for wondering why. Hey darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me. Tastes sweeter in this town. Could it be it's the same as the last? I swear I've seen your face elsewhere before, just as familiar as a bottle and a glass. Hey darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey darling, leaving for the next town, lesson my sense catches up with me. Hey darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey darling, leaving for the next town, lesson my sense catches up with me. Lesson my sense catches up with me.
All right, good morning. We should get started. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, July 2nd, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, and wild ride it is, as it never gets dull, never a dull moment. So today is July 2nd. It's Monday, July 2nd. And some people, I suppose, while some people are not aware of why that day is significant, we are on this network, right? We understand why it's significant and important. And the answer is because it's Independence Day, after all. And I think it's interesting what John Adams had to say about that. In a letter to Abigail, his wife, on July 3rd, 1776, and, you know, for years I've been saying I'm not a fan of saying 4th of July. For two reasons. First of all, it's, well, sort of disingenuous and misleading, but also in the same sense, it takes focus and attention away from what we're commemorating. And speaking of commemorating it, here's what John Adams said, or wrote, in his letter to Abigail, his wife, on July 3rd, 1776. In his letter, he wrote, "The second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America." He wrote, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the greatest anniversary festival it ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore. That's pretty strong language. And he was writing about the second day of July because of the official adoption, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, but the actual ratification would take place 2 days later. So it was ratified on July 4th, but it was passed on July 2nd with no opposing votes. And I'm inclined to believe that on a day like today, in a year like this year, we should probably read it so I'll probably read through it today. Because first of all, we never do that, which is interesting. You know, why wouldn't we memorize it, for Pete's sake? You know, remember when we used to have to do that in school? Or, you know, maybe they don't do that anymore. But we don't understand the significance. It's very unfortunate. So it was actually passed on July 2nd, the Declaration of Independence. And it's a radical document in terms of, well, the way that Ronald Reagan put it in his Time for Choosing speech. This idea, you know, that little soundbite, maybe we'll play that. But he said, not long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. It's interesting in hindsight, you know, how things look, but I digress. Not too long ago, he said, two of my friends were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." Which is a telling remark. And Reagan said, and in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And he said, this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. And then he said, this is the issue of this election. And that was back in 1964 on the Goldwater presidential campaign trail. But it's still the issue, in my opinion. It's always been the issue. From July 2nd, 1776 until now. Or before, obviously. But the issue is whether we believe in our capacity for self-government, or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. And so, on that note, I go back to John Adams. Again, a year prior to his letter to Abigail, he wrote another, July 17, 1775, and he wrote that a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever. And those sound like strong words, but again, these were men who had command of recorded history. and that to reflect upon, not to guess and to be hyperbolic, but to reflect and see that this is the lesson of history. And as far as the idea of the government, Reagan's point about whether, you know, this is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. It's interesting. People will say that things are so different. Things are more complicated today. But I think Congressman Larry McDonald had it right when he the way he put it, the complexity of social organization does not change. Our technologically sophisticated industrial society is more complex than the agrarian society, sure. But he said the complexities of politics do not change much. The basic problems confronting the framers of our Constitution were as complex as our political problems today, perhaps more so, because they were striking off into dangerous unknown, into the dangerous unknown, whereas all we need to do is return to the fine highway we were once on. And John Adams affirmed or confirmed that point when he said what Reagan said. Only John Adams didn't have a fancy speechwriter for what he wrote in a letter to Abigail, May 17, 1776, when he wrote, "There is something very unnatural and odious in a government 1,000 leagues off. A whole government of our own choice, managed by persons whom we love, revere, and can confide in, has charms in it for which men will fight." And I dare say if people understood the concept today, it does have charms in it for which men would fight. And we just don't understand the concept today. So we'll talk more about that today, and certainly the Declaration of Independence. What is its significance? And why do we have to... isn't it interesting that we hear all kinds of talk about the 4th of July, even in this bubble wrap society today, but we don't hear much talk about Independence Day anymore. It seems to be a fleeting concept, but I think there's a reemergence. I think there is a change in the sentiments of the people. Maybe I'm just imagining it, but it would be nice to think so. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT.
Getting harder to breathe, turn smoke in your love. Can't be good for my sanity, can't be good for my lungs. Turn smoke in your love.
Welcome back. I have mentioned before that there's a website. There are several, actually, very good resources. But one that's interesting that I think is surprisingly informative and surprisingly light on propaganda and heavy on what actually happened is a site called AmericaInClass.org from the National Humanities Center, of all places. And there is a section titled Making the Revolution, America 1763 to 1791. And I think it's a great section that, you know, if there is immersive content these days, this would be good immersive content. I think every American would do well to become intimately familiar with this subject matter. And so I will give you some citations. I've mentioned this stuff before, but I'll mention it today. So the URL, the website address for the section that I'm talking about is AmericaInClass.org/sources/making revolution. And so again, making the revolution America, 1763 to 1791. And there are several sections. Again, as I've mentioned in the past, it's broken into sections. Crisis, 1763 to 75. Rebellion, 1775 to 76. War, 1775 to 83. Independence, 1783 to 91. And Constitution, 1787 to 91. And they're interesting sections. But while it might seem that, you know, it would make sense to focus on independence, 1783 to 1791, we might touch on that today. I'm probably actually going to focus where I have in the past, which is making the revolution, the crisis section is where I usually focus, 1763 to 75. So what gave birth to all of this? You know, I've mentioned folks like James Otis Jr. in the past, and you know, James Otis is a guy that you don't hear much about, but his 1765 unsuccessful, his failed defense, the speech that he gave, the oration, John Adams actually reflected years later. I will actually read a little bit of John Adams' letter in the next segment to William Tudor in 1818. So, I mean, you think about that. In 1818, John Adams is reflecting on James Otis's defense, and it's more than 50 years later, and he still remembers it. Not verbatim, obviously. And he admits in his letter that he doesn't remember it exactly or precisely, but it stuck with him for his entire life. So it must be significant for someone like John Adams to recall it all those years later, some 53 years later. Before we go into the break, just the beginning of John Adams' letter to William Tudor, June 1, 1818. No man could have written from memory Mr. Otis's argument of 4 or 5 hours against the acts of trade as revenue laws, etc., etc., much less the next day after it was spoken. How awkward then would it be to attempt to do it after a lapse of 57 years, actually. Long time. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Almost heaven, West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. Virginia, mountain mama, take me home, country roads. All my memories gather round her, miner's lady, stranger to blue water. Dark and dusty, painted on the misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, mountain mama, take me home. Country roads, country roads, take me home.
So a few excerpts, because this is actually a broader subject. It was over the course of a series of letters, actually, to William Tudor. John Adams actually wrote on June 9, 1818, I have promised you hints of the heads. I have promised you hints of the heads of Mr. Otis's oration, argument, speech, call it what you will, he wrote, against the acts of trade as revenue laws, and against writs of assistance and tyrannical instruments to carry them into execution. And basically, what they were referring to were, well, as John Adams puts it, these writs of assistance as tyrannical instruments to carry them into execution. Basically, there were these instruments that were presumed to have the force of, the bearer could enter, carry out a no-knock raid, so to speak, anywhere, anytime, which is absurd. So something I think that people should study, and not just a simple point, not just a simple little excerpt that we can draw from, because as John Adams points out, well, what he said then, what he wrote then to William Tudor, June 9, 1818, you know, when he wrote, I have promised you hints of the heads of Mr. Otis's oration, argument, speech, call it what you will. Actually, backing up in the letter that I mentioned, he closed the June 1 letter, 1818, with these words. He said, I shall pursue this subject in a short series of letters. Providence pursues its incomprehensible and inscrutable designs in its own way and by its own instruments. And as I sincerely believe Mr. Otis to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. Those are strong words. I think it bears study, or begs study, if you will. So John Adams wrote, as I sincerely believe Mr. Otis to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. Isn't it interesting then, just as an aside, I muse rhetorically, isn't it interesting this figure who, as John Adams puts it, he considers the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. Isn't it curious then that this is one of the folks that we have lost, all but lost from history? I don't know about you, but I feel on this broadcast like a stuck record a lot of the time. I cite certain passages of certain letters and certain, I think, key figures from American history, but I feel like a stuck record sometimes, repeating same information, hoping that maybe a time will come when we esteem it important enough to know these things, to have them ingrained in our own persons, each one of us, never to forget. Viktor Frankl wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. And it's interesting, you know, as a concentration camp survivor, a man who had everything taken from him and his family, his entire family was killed. He ended up writing the book Man's Search for Meaning. In it, Viktor Frankl wrote that the one thing they could not take from him was his ability to choose, his freedom of choice. So there is the space, however big or small, between stimulus and response. And he wrote that he resolved himself, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, he resolved himself to never give up that space, that freedom of choice. So free will can always be exercised in the freedom of choice. This is a sentiment that's, that sort of echoes Jesus' words, in the Gospels, particularly in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And we have the freedom to choose in that space. We're encouraged or coerced, I would say, manipulated to believe in this society today there is no space, that we shall be reactionary creatures, which is imprudent and unwise. Indeed, I would say foolish. But I think it's interesting that, if we begin to grow that space, we start to learn about personal, individual freedom to choose. I mean, you can obviously get as profound as you want, as Viktor Frankl did in his book back in 1946, Man's Search for Meaning, but or keep it less sobering a subject and discussion than that. But I think it's a subject that we should concern ourselves with. And I just think it's interesting that, we lose so much of this, what the, any casual outside observer would consider essential, vital history. Isn't it funny how it's occluded? We hear about, we hear about the 4th of July, but we don't hear about the 2nd of July and Independence Day and what happened. Why do we celebrate on the 4th of July when John Adams said the 2nd of July, 1776, will be commemorated as the great day of deliverance, the greatest day in American and beyond history? Why then do we hear about the 4th of July, 4th of July, and not independence? I ask rhetorically again. So it's interesting. John Adams says, I sincerely believe Mr. Otis, James Otis, to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. It seems to me of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten. These are the words of John Adams. A fairly significant figure in American history, the second president of the United States, first vice president. One very influential figure, I think, between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. I've said it before. My belief is, it's an oversimplification, but combining John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, I think come up with the complete founding father in the old lexicon. Complete, complete. Sort of thing. Anyway, John Adams wrote, I shall pursue this subject. What exactly happened? Why was this speech so significant? In a series of letters. Why? Short series of letters. Providence pursues its incomprehensible and inscrutable designs in its own way and by its own instruments. And as I sincerely believe Mr. Otis to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men, it seems to me of some importance, which is almost an ironic wit to me. It seems to me of some importance, John Adams wrote, that his name and character should not be forgotten. Isn't it ironic then that this guy who wrote his dissertation on the canon and feudal law, published in 1765, this is a guy who says, the prospect now before us in America ought in the same manner to engage the attention of every man of learning to matters of power and right, that we may be neither led nor driven blindfolded to irretrievable destruction, he said, because nothing less than this seems to have been meditated for us by somebody or other in Great Britain. There seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. This, however, must be done by degrees. How ironic that one of the degrees, you know, the Orwellian historical revisionist who controls the present, controls the past, who controls the past, controls the future. What do you mean? Well, you can reshape the future. You can tell a bunch of people in this society that, you know, they're disenfranchised and they should be upset because of history that they have no concept of or no, certainly no recollection of because they weren't there. They don't even have it. Any traceable evidence of it in their own family documents, if they have any, because bad guys want to erase all of that too. Funny then how we've lost all this history and it's been replaced by propaganda and social engineering. When this gentleman says there seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. This, however, must be done by degrees. One of the degrees, rewrite history. And John Adams says Mr. Otis, he believes, sincerely believed, to have been the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. It seems to me, he wrote, of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten. Who knows who James Otis was? And then John Adams closed his letter with these words: young men should be taught to honor merit, but not to adore it. To honor merit. You know, again, I think of that quote that I believe is attributed to Napoleon: I could have conquered the world if I had more blue ribbons. Young men should be taught to honor merit, but not to adore it. The greatest men have the greatest faults. And Jesus' sobering reminder to go with it: too much is given, much will be required. So he opens his June 9 letter, John Adams, his June 9 letter to William Tudor, picking up on the same subject. I have promised you hints of the heads of Mr. Otis's oration, argument, speech, call it what you will, against the acts of trade as revenue laws. This was the one of the prime subjects, if not the prime subject in view. Again, the 1765 Stamp Act, for example, sparked a different sentiment. All of this stuff was happening concurrently we'll have to do. It's not the one I'm thinking of, but and so speaking of all of this, again, in reflection, in 1818, John Adams has the letters to William Tudor in 1818. He also, I've mentioned the letter to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818. This is something that was very important for the American people to understand. It's 200 years later. Do we remember? So from John Adams' letter, to kind of jump over, and I'll get back to James Otis in a minute. But John Adams believes it is of some importance that James Otis' name and character should not be forgotten, being the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. But who's ever heard of James Otis? We'll talk more when we come back on this Independence Day, July 2nd, 2018. Stick around. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
A little bit more in the second hour, but again, if John Adams, second president, first vice president, sincerely believed Mr. Otis, James Otis, to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. I agree with them. It seems to me also of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten. Because as, again, just to continue on in that sentiment, or, you know, returning to John Adams' letter to Hezekiah Niles in 1818, February 13, 1818, John Adams wrote, and I'll probably draw more from this. You know, he wrote about the radical change. You know, what do we mean by the American Revolution? He wrote, do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and the hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. One of the things that I was thinking before today's broadcast is, you know, it would be great, I think, if we didn't have a formalized institutional learning or institutionalized learning system, so to speak. It's propaganda, actually. It's not learning. But can you imagine if men were self-taught, men and women, of course? Can you imagine if we were self-educated in the society? We don't value it. There's no value associated with it. Because it's compulsory. And because of the propaganda nature with which people can't generally speak to, but which is acknowledged in the fact that most kids in civics or history classes, so-called, can't stay awake. Propaganda is boring. It grates on your mind. It's like a brake on your mind. You know, it's like someone driving down the road with a foot on each pedal, gas and brake. It is exhausting to the mind because the mind says, this is not right. I smell a rat, as Patrick Henry said. So anyway, but that's a different discussion, right? Anyway, second hour of today's broadcast, this Independence Day, July 2nd, 2018, coming up right after this short break. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting.